Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Grace, mercy, and peace be from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose death has destroyed death and whose resurrection has opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text for this morning is the reading just read, especially the following words. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor a moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Amen. First thing I want to do is welcome the choir from Holy Cross Lutheran Church. Thank you for being with us and sharing your voices with us. I also have a question for you. Don't answer, this is just me talking. Do you all have a Nintendo Wii? If you don't have one, would you really, really like to have one? Do you think that if your mom gave it to you for Christmas, or for your birthday, that you would be very happy? Can you think of all the wonderful things that you would do with it? Do you want it now? Probably. The question is, after 4 or 5 days of playing with it, do you think it would get a little old? Maybe a week or so afterwards? Probably, because something new would come out on TV. Now, this analogy probably doesn't work for the seminary students because I don't think that they really want a Nintendo Wii. But how about a brand new, shiny car? They look really great on the television commercials, don't they? You might see them on the lot, and you might even see them in the newspaper with some kind of a sexy pose of a woman or someone else standing in front of it. You might do your research, your careful planning, and decide it goes very fast, it's got all the latest gadgets, and it probably has good gas mileage, too. And so you convince your wife or your husband that maybe you ought to go ahead and buy it. And so the day comes, you go to the lot, you plunk down the money, you get in the key, you turn the key, you drive the thing off the lot, and you've just lost $2,000 or $3,000 because it's lost that much value just with you driving it off. And for the first week or so, you might be quite impressed with your new car. But as you well know, time goes on, you get less and less enchanted with it, pretty soon it starts to show the signs of aging, and you have to take it in for those first maintenance trips. And then you begin to wonder, maybe I need the newer model. It just came out, didn't it? It's even nicer than the one I had before. The problem with new things, however, is that they very quickly wear out. And almost never the new things that you have really make you happy. In the end, that's why you like all these new things, isn't it? Because you think that it's going to make you happy. It may be a new thing that's come out. It may be a new place to move to. It might be that new parish call, which you have said, this parish call is going to make me happy. Or it might be a new occupation or a new book or something else that you've put on your shelf. This will be the latest, this will be the greatest, but sooner or later it wears out. At that time, you might think about Snoopy in the cartoons who said, the grass is always greener on the other side until you get there and discover that it's artificial turf. We love new things, don't we? We think new things will make us happy. And often they do, for a little while. Yet sooner or later, because they are in this world, which is passing away, those new things will pass away too. And so we need a better place in which to invest our time, our money, our labor, and our lives. That place, Jesus tells us, is in heaven, where moth does not destroy, where no thief can steal, and where treasures do not fade, for there they last forever. This world, unfortunately, because we all know that text quite well, does tend to get in the way because it is a wonder-filled place. Even with sin and death and disease in this world, it is very often, especially on a day like this, that you can agree with God that indeed this is very good. And as if that were not enough, we have been privileged and blessed by the Lord to live in a great nation where we have wealth and riches beyond anyone's expectations throughout all of history. We are the wealthiest, the most comfortable, almost the longest living people that have ever lived on the face of the earth. This is a place that should make us deliriously happy, but it doesn't. There's always something else, because in this sinful world, what we really want is everything our way. And even in our riches, and even in the wonderful place that we live, we don't get our way all the time. Even when something great happens in our lives, when we marry a good husband or wife who is faithful and wonderful to be with, who we enjoy having lots of time with, when our children grow up and we see them excelling in all kinds of things, there's something in the background that kind of nags at us. This is a little too good to be true, isn't it? Because we look overseas and we see warfare. We look in our country and see a tornado come through at record size and take out a whole community in the Midwest. And we begin to wonder, how can we avoid this life beginning to come apart at the seams? And when the bills come, and when we see the record amount of cash we're going to be given in our pastoral call, and wonder how that money is going to make ends meet, we begin to worry that maybe God really doesn't mean it when he says that he will take care of those things, that those things are really not going to come, that we had better, like Abraham did, find out how God wants us to fix it. You remember Abraham. God said to him that he would have a son who would stand in his place. And when God didn't deliver, he listened to his wife and had a child called Ishmael. Look how well that worked out. In the end, it is what God has in mind for us that really satisfies. God tells us, in the words of a song from a few decades ago, "Don't worry, be happy." After all, God himself has chosen to give us his kingdom, and that is no small potatoes at all. He has sent his son Jesus to die for us, to pay the price for our sinful desire, for our greed, and our tendency to put ourselves first and everybody else last. He has made us his children in holy baptism. He has declared us to be the sheep of his hand and the people of his pasture. He has promised to give us all the things that we need, and he delivers it. The most important things being the sacrament and his presence with us each and every day. But going down to the food we need, the clothes we have on our backs, all of the things that our confirmation students learn or will learn in great detail in the small catechism. All these things he gives to us. And when the world is filled with trouble and tribulation, remember Jesus warned us it would be. He tells us still to be of good cheer, because after all, he is Lord of the universe. And he has promised that the day will come when he will bring us into his presence. That may be the end of our time, or it might be at the end of all time itself. But sooner rather than later, we will be with him forever in heaven. It is a place that he tells us in the second lesson from this last weekend, is a new heaven and a new earth, a place where he will dry every tear, where there will be no more sorrow or grief or pain, not because he gives us all new things, but because he makes everything new again. He will restore these things, remove sin and death and the power of the devil, so that we can live with him forever. In the meantime, he tells us, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Care for others first, before ourselves. When we find somebody that's needy, feed him. When we find someone who needs assistance, assist them. For when we do that, we end up doing what God wants us to do, more by his power than ours, of course. But by doing so, we build up treasures that will last forever in heaven, where perhaps someone will one day come and say, you know, when you spoke to me God's word, he worked in my life, and I just want to thank you because I'm here because you brought the gospel to me. And so, my friends, don't worry, be happy. Serve God, because after all, you are going to live forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, fill our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.